I invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Colossians chapter 2. I've been, in the last couple of weeks, been doing my devotions from the book of Colossians. And just a couple of days ago, was reminded of this passage in chapters 2, verses 6 and 7. So let's read that. You can follow it along. Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Lord, we just pray that you would speak through these verses to us, and I pray that you would encourage us today, challenge us, through your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would just speak into the hearts of each person who hears this today, Lord, including mine, and just remind us, Lord, of where you'd have us to go. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. Well, the city of Colossae. Maybe you've studied about that city. It was about 120 miles from the city of Ephesus. As far as we know, when Paul spent time in Ephesus, almost 3 years, he had not actually gone to Colossae. So this was a church that didn't know him in person, only kind of by reputation. And in chapter 1, verse 7, we know that this church was started by the ministry of Brother Epaphras. And when he went there and shared the gospel, and people believed in the gospel. Well, in this passage, Paul talks about walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go on to the next slide. One of my goals while I live here in Guam, and my wife tells me we're going to live here forever, is that I need to climb Mount Lam Lam. Have any of you climbed Mount Lam Lam yet? Okay, some of you have. Some of you haven't. So let's schedule a Saturday and we'll just take the whole PIU campus up to Mount Lam Lam. Well, right now during chapel, we're not going to climb Mount Lam Lam. We're going to climb Mount Zion. And we're going to go see our Heavenly King. All right. So there's a couple of things, though, that we need to think about as we prepare this trip. First of all, our goal. Our goal is found in Philippians chapter 3. Perhaps you know that real well. Verses 13 and 14, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I, Paul's talking here, press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. We want to make it to the top. We want to make it to Mount Zion. Well, we also have a need. How are we going to do that? Well, we need to lighten the load. Some of us carry a lot of weight trying to get up to Mount Zion. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have also a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. It trips us up. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we've got to get rid of these things that are trying to trip us up as we're on our way up to Mount Zion. And then, what do we need? What kind of equipment do we need? Well, there's only one thing we need, and that's faith. We need faith. Only trust in the word of Jesus. So going back to Colossians chapter 1, look what Paul says about this church. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. So the gospel is what's going to show us the direction to get to our goal. And then in verses 15 through 20, I won't read all of that, but those verses lay out for the Colossians just who is the goal. What our target is not something abstract, but it is a person. And so in Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 to 20, we have some of the greatest words about Jesus spoken anywhere in the New Testament. That it's through Him everything was created. And it's by Him that everything even exists and is held together. Paul was in prison when he wrote this, possibly in his last imprisonment in Rome. We don't know for sure. The Colossians, though, were distracted by different teachings that were floating around in their city. And so Paul wrote this letter to people he didn't know, trying to help them understand. So go on to the next slide. There's some distractions he talks about. Looking at chapter 2 again, verse 4. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. And then in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So the Colossians were being distracted by humanism. Humanism is not something that's from the 21st century, postmodernism. Humanism has been around since Adam and Eve. And so these Colossians were being distracted by humanistic thinking. Now, what is humanism? This is not a lecture. But humanism is where we put ourselves in the center of our life. And then we try to make sense of this world from human thinking. Well, some people think that perhaps in Colossae there was a form of what's called proto-Gnosticism. Maybe you've studied Gnosticism, which developed later in the 2nd and 3rd century, but early forms of it where people were so caught up in trying to know knowledge and secrets, and if they could just figure out the world and who this Jesus was all up in their own heads, then they could get to heaven. Well, Paul says you're mistaken. Humanism will get you nowhere when you're at the focus of it all. And so humanism shows up in two extremes. Legalism, where we try to do whatever we can to make ourselves look good to God. And legalism is a disease of a lot of Christians today. They think that they can do something to get into heaven. It's all about me. The second problem that we see a lot, and what was current in Colossae and other early churches, was the flesh, was antinomianism, living to just do whatever we want to please ourselves. And so it doesn't matter what I do, I've got the union card in my back pocket that says, going to heaven. I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 5 years old. Doesn't matter if I'm 95 and lived a bad life, but I've got that union card in my pocket and I'm going to heaven. And so antinomianism is also a problem. These teachings were creating a lot of questions and problems for the Colossians. They had come to believe the good news. They were believers. But they just were having problems putting all of this together. Go on to the next slide, please. They were living by the flesh. So looking at verses 11 through 13. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. They had gone from living to please themselves. That's what fleshly living is. Living by our emotions, our feelings, whatever makes me feel good and makes me, you know, makes me happy. And that's a problem in our world today too. All of these problems. In fact, these things have infiltrated the churches, in our churches. And there's some Christians who are just struggling with these things, just like the Colossians. Go on to the next slide. So Paul says to the Colossians, in this really important key verse, I think, in the whole epistle, he says, walk in Him. This is how we should live. Learning to walk. You know, you remember when you're, you probably don't remember, when you're a little baby. I remember when our daughter Shan, we just adopted her, and she was just learning to walk. When you're really small, you sometimes you stumble and fall, don't you? You stumble and fall, you trip, but then you get right back up. We put our faith into action one step at a time. We walk in Him step by step. The Colossians believed in Jesus, but they needed more understanding and they needed more experience. They needed to walk more in Jesus Christ. Now this verb tense is present tense in the original. So it's walk and keep on walking. Just don't stop there and have lunch or something. I know it's almost lunchtime. We're getting hungry. But keep walking. Don't give up. You've got your target. You know where you're going. So keep walking. Walking sets the direction of our lives. Where are you walking today? What is your goal? What is your dream? Now, we have lots of dreams and goals, especially in college when you're young. And I still have dreams and goals and all of that. But what is it that is guiding your walk day by day? What is your values and your worldview? So Paul says here to walk in Him. In Him. What does it mean to be in Christ? That's the key, I think, for what it means to be a Christian, is to be in Christ. This is the most important idea for us to grasp as believers. To walk in Christ means that we have put ourselves under His sovereignty, under His lordship, under Him as master, and we are His people, His servants. He is our Lord. That's what it means. And then as we come under Him, He fills us with His Spirit, His presence, and our relationship gets deeper and deeper with Him. Now, Paul, in the rest of these verses, tell the Colossians how they can walk. So go on to the next slide. So how can you walk? Well, first of all, Paul says you can walk by being rooted. Now, I brought with me one of my special plants today. If you come by my house anytime at the church, we live in the back, I've got all kinds of things growing. And half of those are things that I've eaten. So this is actually an orange tree. One day I was eating an orange and came across a seed. Oh, let's grow this. So got it to grow. So I'm pretty excited about that. I have, I have a mango growing. I have a date palm from the dates, you know, you get in the package. I found, oh, these are supposed to be seedless. And I got a seed in it. So I've got two date palms that actually are supposed to grow in the Middle East, but and I said, what else? I have all kinds of things growing in little pots like this. So rooted, being rooted. If we are not rooted in Christ, we will not grow very much in our spiritual life. And we will wither away. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends down its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. To be rooted in Christ requires that we trust in Him, that we put our lives into His care. Trust is shown by letting the roots of our lives become connected to the stream of God's grace. And there's the key, is we've got to connect our lives to God's grace. Let Him do the work in us. We, by faith, trust in Him, and we say, here, God, do in me as you desire to do. If we are rooted, we will be strong and cannot be moved. Roots grow stronger over time as they draw up more nutrients and as they go down deeper to find the water and the different nutrients they need. It is critical that our lives be rooted in Christ. We are rooted and established in faith, Paul says here. We cannot build ourselves up in Christ unless we are first rooted in Him. So, what is it that you've rooted your life into today? I won't answer that for you. I won't even give you some ideas because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit talk to you about that. I'll go on to the next slide. So Paul uses another participle. By being built up, Paul shifts the metaphors now from plants to buildings. When constructing a new building, you got to make sure that the foundation is strong. The strength of the building is determined by the strength of the foundation. If the foundation's not very good, the building could fall over, it could crack, and all kinds of things. The big skyscrapers, you know how they stand up to earthquakes and winds? They go down deep. And so the foundation needs to be strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 mentions that the best foundation that we can have is, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 talks about this foundation. It's quoted twice in the New Testament, at least. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Jesus talked about two different kinds of foundation in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the
rock.
Right. Oh, you're listening. Good. She usually listens to my sermons. Tells me later if I messed up or something. All right. So if you build your house, your life on a rock, you will be solid. And that rock is the word of Christ, who he is. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Right. And so when the trials of life come, it goes crash. Well, we've got a lot of trials of life right now.
Yeah, we do.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little tired of the COVID situation. Yeah. It just kind of goes up and down and more restrictions. And, you know, I think we all have COVID fatigue, don't we? But we can have our lives anchored deep down in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Go on to the next slide. Now, this is an interesting picture. Cheyenne Mountain is just outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's like the top secret place where the U.S. military has their headquarters if there's a nuclear war. Maybe you've heard of it. It's like miles under the Granite Mountain. Our nephew used to work there. And one of his jobs was to go under the buildings and check the springs. There are thousands of springs that hold up 15 buildings in Cheyenne Mountain. So if there was a nuclear bomb or a earthquake, it wouldn't, you know, shake up the equipment and so on. So the entire place is built on a foundation of springs so that when things happen, you know, bad, just in case, everything would still be safe because it would, you know, it wouldn't like shake and break everything. When we face the rumblings of life, if we have a right foundation, we can continue to stand strong and true. Sometimes troubles will come our way. Maybe you're facing some trouble right now. So what is it that is holding you firm in your life? Go on to the next slide. Now, I've been trying to do push-ups a lot. And almost every day, if I remember. sorry, it's kind of funny. But anyway, my wife's laughing.
What in the world?
My goal is to grow stronger with my push-ups. A year and a half ago, I could hardly do 5. Now I could probably crank out 40.
Okay.
But I was trying to get back to when I was 18 years old. This is my high school graduation picture. Just joking. So the word for established means to be strengthened in and firmly strong. Paul specifically tells the Colossians that they can grow stronger in their faith. He uses the article the faith here, perhaps for the Christian faith, but it's not just simply up in the head. It's not just simply learning theology. It's really, what is your faith deep down inside? Maybe we should go to the next slide before you get any ideas. All right, yeah, thank you. I still have another idea about that previous slide. I think you're kind of tired of looking at what I used to look like. How well do you know the truth of the gospel? Not just up in the head, but deep down inside. Is the truth of Jesus Christ that you're studying here in college, is it something that you have embraced with your whole person? And are you growing in that, not just up in the head, but in your character, in how you live, and most important, in your relationship? And then Paul ends this verse with saying that, overflowing with thanksgiving or gratitude. The final image is of an overflowing river that keeps pouring on into the places around it. Or if you have a cup of water, just water that just keeps overflowing. The Christian life is characterized by thanksgiving, gratitude. Thanksgiving results when we realize just what God has done for us. And so being rooted and grounded and strengthened in Him leads to a life of thanksgiving, a life of praise, a life of worship. Those things will keep us from stumbling and falling. Paul uses a word that means super overflowing, not just a trickle, but overflowing with praise and worship and thanksgiving. The open door to experiencing the power of God in our lives is living a life of worship. Putting ourselves before Him and saying, here I am, God. Whoever, whatever I am, I'm yours, Lord. And that's what it means to be deeply grounded in Him. So I just want to encourage you in your college studies, don't let it all just go up into your head. I was in college for a long time, several schools, many years, and it's very easy to slip into head knowledge. We've got to keep going back to the goal. Walk with Him day by day. Sometimes you'll stumble and fall. We all do. None of us are perfect. And sometimes we even bruise ourselves and scrape our knees. We might even break a bone once in a while. But you know what? God has the healing. God has the forgiveness. And there's lots of other passages in Colossians that talk about that. I don't have time to get into that. But all of those things will help us to grow and to have our lives deeply grounded firmly in Him. Let me pray for you today. Well, Lord God, I just pray that some of these words from your scripture will penetrate into the lives of my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe during these days. I pray for those who are not well, that you would just grant them your healing grace today. And I pray, Lord, for us all, that we would learn what it means to walk with you, that you would just send your Spirit into our lives and just down into those deep crevices, those deep hidden holes, those closets that we don't want anyone to know about. Lord, I just pray you would just shine your light in there, clean them out, Lord, that we may truly know what it means to be filled with your presence. And so I just pray, Lord, for each person here today. Give them encouragement today as they leave this place. Lord, draw their focus to you through their activities today, whatever they may be. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. Lord, we lay ourselves down before you and we say, Lord, here we are, just the way we are, but don't leave us here, God. Take us to where you want us to be. We'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.